This is the Monologue Podcast, a platform for new short fiction where we showcase original monologues read by actors to give you that theatre feeling from the comfort of your earphones. Join us for another audio adventure. So hush hush, wink wink, sweep it under the rug, and try not to let the skeletons out of the closet. Secrets Part 3 is about to begin.
Boom!
From Orange Theatre Company, this is the Monologue Podcast. I'm Saira Ehrens, and with me is Daniela Down. Welcome to another episode, recorded live at our recent event, Tiny Theatre. The theme of the night was secrets.
Tiny Theatre is our way of taking the Monologue Podcast on the road, or rather, to the stage. On today's episode, you will hear three of the 9 monologues that were performed live at Sexyland in Amsterdam. This is the final part from our live series, Secrets.
They were recorded in front of a full house, so the monologues you'll hear are live and unedited. Content warning, this episode contains some adult themes and naughty language. Most of us love that stuff, but listener discretion is advised. Without further ado, let the show begin.
Hurrah!
Our first monologue is Strangers on a Train, written and performed by Emma Rose Thompson, a dancer-turned-actor, writer, director, third assistant director, production assistant, extras coordinator, and child wrangler. The character in this monologue takes oversharing to the next level and contains a surprising amount about vacuum sexting and the secret to life. Here is Strangers on a Train.
Sorry. Trains make me really, really sleepy. Or maybe it's my parents making me sleepy. No, I'm kidding. I love them. They're great. I love them. I haven't lived with them for over a decade, and your tolerance kind of changes a little, doesn't it? But I love them. They're great. They're sat over there, other side of the aisle, 4 people in between us, and still they feel like it's appropriate to loudly include me in their conversation about which vacuum they're going to buy. Yes, hello. I've only just managed to zone out of that, so don't want to make too much eye contact there. Oh, it's a sext. I mean, it's Leo, it's my boyfriend, so it's fine, but fuck, bad timing, man. I guess I could just send something back. I don't really want to. Not really in the mood. But it's not too hard to just, like, reply. And besides, lately, every time I go over to his place, I've kind of been feeling more like a dog than his girlfriend. Like, he's really happy to see me, happy to dog sit, happy to cuddle, really happy to send me back home to my owner when my breath starts to smell, and definitely doesn't want to fuck me. I wouldn't fuck a dog either, so, you know. I think I'll just send something back. Oh God, another message. Wow, this is escalating quicker than I thought it would. Sorry, excuse me. Yes. So wet right now. Surprised the guy next to me can't hear? No, that's weird. Surprised he can't smell? God, no, that's worse. Surprised the guy next to me can't tell. Sent. Goodness, relationships are complicated. Especially physical relationships, right? Like, no one prepares you for this shit. There's no book telling you what to do, and suddenly you find yourself with a finger up your ass and cum in your hair and inappropriate texts on trains, and I don't know what to do. It's not like I'm opposed to any of those things per se. I just, it's complicated. The long-term consequences of saying yes or no, it's delicate. That's what it is. A physical relationship is a delicate fucking dance. But then again, I find, me personally, I find life in general kind of difficult. Impossible, maybe. Exhausting, definitely. Oh, it's a photo. Oh, wow, that is very detailed. And rather confidently framed, maybe? And the voice note. Is it weird how into this he is? Like, it's all a lie. Oh, good, they're still on vacuums. I mean, it's not that hard, is it now? If you can afford the cordless one, definitely get the cordless one. And otherwise, you can buy me the cordless one, and then you can have my shitty one without a cord. Okay, let's see what we've got. Play. Oh. Okay. What? Dad, I can't hear you. Okay, let me just finish this. I'll get right back to you, yeah? Dealing with a little hose situation of my own. Okay. I reckon we can knock this out of the park fairly quickly. Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah? Wish I could feel it. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being string cheese, and 10 being those cookies I left in the oven so long they became like rocks. How hard are you? ? Send. I think we'll be done in a minute. What was I saying? Ah, yeah. Sometimes I wonder whether it's just me. Like, I feel like I'm the only one that doesn't know how to do life. Like, how to be a functioning human being. But then I look at my parents and they can't even figure out a vacuum deal, so it's like all these people that I thought had all the answers don't seem to have very many after all. And that terrifies me, because I'll be honest, I was 100% living under the illusion that this floundering state of mind would be temporary, but maybe not. Unless no one really knows what they're doing. Maybe, like, no one has a fucking clue what they're doing, but they're all just pretending. What if everyone is winging it, right? Just to, like, keep the peace. Because if we admitted to each other we were winging it, then that would be total anarchy. So we pretend, and then we keep pretending, and at some point we might not even realize we're pretending anymore. Yeah, like we convince ourselves that we know exactly who we are, we know exactly what we're doing, but in reality, we don't have a fucking clue. None of us. Huh. Oh, it's a video. This is the home run right here. This is the play. What if... What if that is the secret to life? Like, what if figuring that out, right? Like, figuring out that no one has a fucking clue what they're doing. What if that's the secret to life? Because once you figure that out, you can let go. You're free. Huh. Maybe I'm better at life than I thought I was. Bet you they haven't figured it out. Wait. Could I be, like, wiser than my parents? No. Yes? Oh, and it's done. Knocked it out of the park, eh? Fairly quick and painless, I'd say. Oh, and the vacuum chat has finally ended. Thank God. Oh, Dad, you needed me. What's up? What is that? I don't know. Leo? What about Leo? Wait. Can you speak to me like a normal human being? Like, what is this gesturing? I don't know what you're pointing at. Like, what are you... Oh, you mean... Oh. Oh, God. Hiya. Fuck.
Next up, we have Secrets, a beautifully written declaration of love for someone who may never know it. Why is it always that forbidden love is the sauciest? It was written by Selma Oydan, a Dutch with Moroccan flavor spoken word artist currently studying biomedicine in Sweden. It is performed by Charlie Bird, an actor, poet, and the creative director of Leiden English Theatre Company. He's Liverpudlian, who's been based in the Netherlands for 8 years. Here is Secrets.
Well, he also had a secret to share. Yeah, he had followed a pistachio-only diet, but he quit because he thought that was kind of nuts. That wasn't me, that was him. Here's Charlie Burns.
Before I start, apologies for the shit joke, but I heard this was a sexy line, so we're going for it. Oh, darling, you don't know what you do to me. Wearing that white summer tee with those black sunglasses crowned on your head. It's 1:18 at night, and I'm still thinking about it. What a dream it would be to go on a road trip with you sitting shotgun by my side, screaming along shamelessly to our favourite Taylor Swift songs. We'd watch the sunset together every night. We'd get lost in places we didn't know existed until we found them. You'd hold my hand in public, we'd buy each other books, I'd read you every poem as I wrote it, and... well, what am I saying, really? It's just a dream. A perfect future. Preconceived. In reality, you told me about your latest crush while I was cutting cucumbers. So I smiled and I asked all the right questions and I told you I was happy for you. And I am. But I also can't help but quietly hoping that it won't work out. As if I have a chance. In reality, you apologize for talking too much, and I don't know how to ask you to tell me everything, to verbalize every thought that's in your mind, every feeling in your heart. Tell me about your family, about your favorite part of the day, your biggest mistake, if you love lavender as much as I do. I want to know you. And honestly, I could listen to you talk all day, every day. Your voice is soft but rough, a sweet mahogany. It sounds like the handmade honey my mother buys from a friend. Like the home I've been longing for. I keep thinking about how the world faded away when you sat across from me at the dinner party. How you once traced a ring on my finger like a road on a map. And I tried not to burst into stars. My memories never served me well. But moments with you are etched into my mind. And the more I see you, the more I know myself too. You question everything out of curiosity. You make the confusion comfortable. You take nothing for granted, doing whatever you want without letting others define you. I am mesmerized by how you move through the world. Still, it doesn't change that you are mesmerized by someone else. So I'll just watch you wear that white summer tee, those black sunglasses, while I whisper under my breath, oh darling.
Our final monologue is Red, a darkly funny tale of one woman leaving an abusive relationship. The means might be unorthodox, but boy, this character is strong. It is written by Liz Tate, a British writer and playwright based in Sussex, and performed by Sietke van der Steer, an accomplished actor and director in the Netherlands. She wanted to add that she has red hair, which we agree really adds something to this monologue. Well, maybe not on a monologue podcast, but hey, here is Red.
Jesus Christ. Okay, move now, move. Okay, 5 minutes. Come on, Stu, come on, okay. 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 Okay, just wait. Looks like a fucking angel now. Last night I dreamed I was downing a massive glass of orange juice, you know, the fresh stuff. And it was amazing, the taste. So I woke up with my throat unbelievably dry, and all I could remember was this amazing taste. So I don't think I craved anything that badly before. So this morning I went to the store and I bought some, you know, freshly squeezed stuff, the one with the bits. And it was so freaking good. I drank like half the carton of it, like in one go. And of course, when he got home, lunchtime, it was the first thing he spotted in the fridge. Asked why I got it, as he poured himself a massive glass. Took one swish. Well, it all pretty much took off then, didn't it? First, there was the shouting in my face. Pretty standard. Why did you get the one with the bits? I don't like the one with the bits. I said, I got it for me. And well, he worked it up all the way to how selfish it was. I got it just for me. And why the one with the bits? Well, he only likes the smooth stuff, you know, the ones from concentrate. Or is it not concentrate? Honestly, I really don't know the difference. I said I was sorry, I apologized, it will never happen again, sorry, sorry, sorry. And that is when he poured the rest of the glass over my head. I was chopping up bits for a salad, and it all just dripped into the bowl. Turned everything orange. What a fucking waste. And for some random reason, it made me think that that Timotei shampoo ad, you know? You know, the one where she's wearing this white dress, all gypsy and flowy, and she is washing her long blonde hair in a fountain like this or something? Yeah, yeah. And then this shirtless bloke shows up, and he gives her a bunch of flowers, and I think they're leaning over a bridge or something. And he looks at her, loved up, and she's swishing it about the hair. It made me think of Rapunzel, you know, trapped in a tower until a bloke shows up who makes her throw her hair out so he can climb it. It took forever to get all the bits out. Still feels disgusting. Smells nice and orangey though.
Yeah.
Okay, come on, Stu, where are you? Where are you? I don't remember when it changed. When he changed, it was more bit by bit. Just first one little thing, and then another little thing. And there were times when it was normal. When he was normal, we'd laugh at nothing, like in the beginning. I like to imagine this big fire, like a big, massive New Year's Eve bonfire with him in the middle burning. Yeah. Last month he broke the heel of one of my shoes because he didn't like the sound they were making when I was walking. And all I could think of was, why didn't you break both heels? I got them for Maddie's wedding. They were they were gorgeous. They were coral, red-ish, sweaty material, and I thought they were not going to be that comfortable wearing with my bunions, you see, but they actually were. They were. I put them in a charity bag. They were too good to bin. From the outside, we look like a normal couple. Oh, it couldn't be nicer when we had visitors. Okay, Stu, come on. Where are you? Love my brother, but he's so, so slow. My mom loves to throw in the all relationships have their ups and downs bit, but I went over her once when he was drunk and he threw out our engagement invitations, throwing them out of the window. In the beginning, I thought he was the one. And stupid thing is, he was. He really, really was. Last Saturday, I found a stash of pills on his side of the bedstand. Wondered who they were for. Okay, 2 more minutes, okay. I think about his car plunging down a hill into a river at night. Yeah. No witnesses. What a terrible waste. Yeah. No, we're not looking for anyone related to this incident. No. So this afternoon when he left, I bought him some orange juice. You know, the smooth stuff. The one from Concentrate. The posh M&S stuff. I bought it. It was made from freshly squeezed oranges and freshly ground pills. I gave that to him an hour ago. Sleeping like a baby. Like my baby. My baby he will never get to know about. Oh, yes! Oh, thank God! Oh, yeah. Love my brother to pieces, but talk about slowest driver ever. Okay. I'm not allowed to wear red. Says it doesn't suit me, do this snouty love. You're actually gonna wear that. Sweet dreams, you evil piece of shit. I'm leaving you. We are leaving you. You see, when it was just me that had to put up with his ways, I could take anything. But now, no way, I'm risking it now. I'm leaving you. We are leaving you. I said one day I would get away, and that day is now.
It's time for your lesser-known quote from a famous play. Today's quote comes from Tennessee Williams' ever-popular play, The Glass Menagerie. It first premiered in 1944 and catapulted Williams to fame. It is a memory play, meaning the dreamlike events that take place and narrated by the lead character, Tom, and maybe, as he tells the audience, not recalled exactly how they happened. The quote actually comes from the stage directions of The Glass Menagerie, but we think it perfectly captures the delicacy and brittleness of our theme, secrets. The lesser-known quote from this famous play is,
"How beautiful it is and how easily it can be broken."
Why not set it as your WhatsApp status or slip it into your next email?
This lovely performer behind us, she is not hijacking the show. No, we asked her to be here. This is Cherry on top. Cherry?
Take it away.
The floor is yours.
So, I'm so happy to play. First song is, it's written about a person that I just had on my mind, but he was not present anymore in my life. So I was like, but now I'm here celebrating New Year's Eve, so I should not think about this guy anymore. So let's go. Maybe it resonates, I don't know. It's called Fireworks. I'm watching the fireworks without you. My heart is...
Hey, it's a little bit too much.
I'm watching the fireworks without you. My heart is exploding to red, green and blue. 'Cause you're out of sight, but not out of my mind. And I promise myself this is the last time I think about you. I'm watching the fireworks and I find the ashes of my desire lying on the ground. 'Cause you're out of sight, but not out of my mind. And I promise myself this is the last time that I was walking with my brain. Oh, it was driving me insane. One day with you is pleasure and the other is pain. I was fucking with my brain. It was driving me insane. Loving you is like I long for sun in the rain. Without you, this is the end and this is the start of something new. 'Cause you're out of sight, but soon out of my mind. And I promise myself this is the last time that I was spoken with my brain. It was driving me insane. One day standing here and I'm watching the fireworks. I'm watching the fireworks. I'm watching the fireworks without you. I'm watching the fireworks. I'm watching the fireworks. And I promised myself this is the last time that I think you.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
Ow.
That's a wrap, folks. Syra, thanks for hosting with me. A round of applause, please, for the writers and actors who contributed to this episode and were part of our live show. Big thanks to James Cook, who made our original theme tune and music. If you want to know more about his work, head to jamescookcomposition.com. This podcast was edited by me, Daniela Down, and that's it for now. So bye-bye, dach, doei, ciao, adieu, doigin, auf Wiedersehen, jaijen, sayonara, au revoir, toodaloo, adios. Later, alligators.